All right. So here we are, worldwide live for BBS Radio Online. Thank you so much, BBS. I welcome all those who are joining in online, and we have the phone lines open. This is a simulcast with a conference call. I welcome those who join in on the conference call. We have a bunch of people here already, and every time you hear a ding, that's somebody else joining in, which we just had. I welcome the next person. If you want to, please say your name and location.
It's Marilyn.
I hear Marilyn. Good evening, Marilyn. Welcome to the call.
Yes, good evening.
Meow. Meow.
Hello. Meow, meow.
Hi, Katie.
Can I hear somebody from Los Angeles?
Felipe.
Hello, Felipe. Welcome to the call.
Hello.
Thank you for being
here.
All right. And there might have been more callers who joined in the last minute or two. If you want to, please say your name and location. But we welcome you. It's, let's see, 2 minutes till the hour. Here's somebody else tuning in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Celeste from Sedona.
Hello, Celeste. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, Heiss. Hi, everybody.
Good evening, Don.
Hello, Don. Hi, Don.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hi, Don.
Hello.
Hello, Don.
You have a sexy voice, too, Don.
Oh, good. That's all I ever wanted.
Don't be in a sexy voice.
All right.
He's
welcome
always
to
looking for the sexy voice.
Welcome to the club. Please say your name and location.
Dan from Wisconsin.
Hi, Dan. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
And welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Anthony in Florida. Good evening.
Hello, Anthony. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Hi, my neighbor. Nice to have you. Welcome.
Oh, hi.
I'm from Orlando.
Oh, I'm down in Fort Lauderdale. Okay.
Oh, is that a bit lower
here
than me? That's nice. Welcome.
Thank you.
Does he have a sexy voice, Lucy?
Not bad, not bad, not bad.
She looks for those strong ones, doesn't she?
Hey, why not?
All right.
Why not?
In walks to the call, please say your name and location.
It's
Joel. Joel, welcome to the call.
Have a sexy
Joel.
Voice.
Hello. How's it going?
More people have joined in. I welcome them. You, and if you want to have a chance, please say your name and location.
Wynn.
Good evening, Wynn. Welcome to the call. Thank you for being here.
Well,
thank you very much. Hey, this is another sexy voice.
It's a sexy voice.
Wynn. Yeah,
Mr. I need to mute a few lines. We have some background noise.
Hey, Lucy, how many Barry White albums do you own?
Yeah. What? The what? Album?
Barry White.
Barry White. What? Oh, Barry White, I don't have any. I'm sorry. I don't
know
her.
You don't know who he is?
No.
No.
Nope.
I welcome the next caller. Thanks for being here. Please say your name and location. If you want to.
Susan in Delaware.
Hi, Susan. Welcome to the call.
Hi, Susan.
Wait. All right. The entry and exit signs are off. It is 6:01. Let me see if Terry Brown is present.
Terry.
I'm here.
Are you
I'm
there?
Here.
Hello, Terry. Good evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for being here.
Morgan in California.
Hi, Morgan.
Hi, Morgan.
Hi, everyone.
Hello,
Morgan.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, hope you're all well.
Yes.
Great.
Is Terry's voice a little low tonight?
Yes.
It's low?
Terry?
Well, yes.
Yeah.
I can hear her okay.
Yeah, I hear it better. Hoffman has a low volume, seems to me.
Go sit on a pillow.
I don't know. the mic is as close as I can get it here.
You sound great here on my end.
Yeah, you sound good to me, too.
Me, too.
Yeah, you sound good here.
Okay, good.
Normal.
Good, girl.
You know, Heisel always say you sound good, Terry.
Well, I do not. I want to have good quality sounds.
No, sometimes he says I have to be muted.
He does.
So
Jim and I are having a competition now about who has the sexiest voice.
But you got the competition now.
Lucy, I don't know. She's judging everybody when.
Pardon me?
I have to make everybody feel better, Wynn.
Oh, is that what you're doing? You're making everybody feel better.
Yeah, that's what
I call. Last call, she said my voice is okay.
you know,
ego boost.
All us humans are, you know, I mean, we're competitive with each other.
That's right. So everybody needs to be equal.
I will say, Lucy, you have the sexiest French voice on the line.
There you go.
Thank you. You pulled me back the ball.
We are ready to get started, okay? And hang on. We are going to... What are we going to do? I got to restart. We gotta mute you all. Now we gotta start the recording.
This conference is being recorded.
Good evening, everyone, or whenever it is, what time zone you're in, whenever you're listening. Welcome. This is Wynn Free, and we'll start off by saying we love you wherever you are. I can't always say that when we start. And, you know, sometimes when I'm thinking, I hope somebody loves me. You know, it's like we're getting better and better. Terry's pretty good at loving everybody all the time. Are you loving everybody all the time, Terry?
I basically, underneath everything, I love everybody all the time. Sometimes I get pretty mad at one person or another, but there's a basic underlying love even then.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I know you're not ready, are you, by any chance?
As not ready as always.
Uh-huh.
But I just have to be ready to step aside.
Now, is Jim... no, to shut himself in the room. Did you remind him?
Jim, are you on the line? Let me go check and see where Jim is. Make sure.
Hey, guys. When we make the big bucks, we will be all ready. We'll be already produced. I don't think we, no matter how much money we ever made, we never have anyone other than Heis produce us and greet people. But this is a small operation, and sometimes we look really professional, and sometimes we don't quite make it, and that's okay, because it's like, how would we say it? Did I start the recording? That's the big question.
Yeah, you started. I think it changed the honesty of the call.
Right. March 26, 2014, Wynn and Terry in Sedona. I know Susan Rush sent me something where she said, "You guys are so natural," and it was a funny little repartee that Terry had, where I said, "Terry, are you there? We can't hear you." And Terry said, "I'm here. Well, you better shut the door, because we're just a little operation. A little operation that goes pretty big into the universe, but on a physical plane, it's little. We're just a small group of people. Even if you have hundreds of people, it's a small group by the nature of how many people are on this planet. But we're going to start. Tonight's the night we ask questions that you guys have submitted, and we have some really good questions tonight. And let me just get back on my console again, because it knocked me off. And just a second. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energies of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. Right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive can access. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes. Do you hear us?
We hear you, and you're loud and clear. Thank you.
Excellent. This is Ra'an, the 26th of March, 2014. And we express, feel in our energy bodies, love toward all of the people of planet Earth, all of the people who are listening, all of the light workers on the planet. We see the earnestness with which you and others work to make a good life for you and your loved ones. And we are here to help however we can. Do you have questions?
Yes. The first question is from Dave Ferringer. And it's kind of an interesting. He has two questions. I'm only going to ask one of them. Well, maybe I'll ask the other. I'm going to start out with the first one. And if we have time, we'll come back, Dave. The Elohim often talk about being on a very high frequency. And I'm going to just rephrase this question slightly, but it's the same meaning. When you say you're on a high frequency, we have an idea of frequency being like cycles per second. Like there's audio frequencies, there's RF frequencies, there's UHF frequencies, there's hundreds of millions of cycles per second. When you say you're at a high frequency, does that relate to the normal use of the word frequencies, i.e. cycles per second? Because Dave asks, could you give us a numeral or a relative comparison of that frequency?
As you move through the lower bands of frequency or cycles per second, you get the bands that are available and perceptible to your vision, to your hearing, the ground waves that resonate in planet Earth. Then when you get to colors, it is a higher frequency. Then when you move past radio frequencies and light frequencies and move up even farther, so that you might say we are singing very fast. We have many cycles per second. And if it had a pitch, it doesn't have a pitch, but if it did have a pitch, it would be of a very high pitch. So it is similar to the audio range in having a high note. It is similar to having a whole panoply of notes that go reach very, very fast, very high, and it is easy to miss. Does that help?
Would we say it's like trillions of cycles per second or quadrillions of cycles like that? Is it still in cycles per second, the frequency?
It is a vibration. It is a vibration. And we would say if we were going to give it a number, we would say it was trillions of cycles per second.
Mm-hmm. You know, the thought comes to me, because your frequency is so high, the wavelength must be extremely tiny. In other
yes.
words, for example, if you have 10 cycles per second, that means it goes like a tenth of a cycle per one cycle would be one tenth of a second. That's how long it would
yes.
take.
Yes.
And if you had 100 cycles per second, one cycle would be 1/100th of a second. So what I was thinking, the thought just flashed into my mind, if the frequency is so high, then the wavelength is so tiny, perhaps that's the reason the Elohim can penetrate so easily through the universe, because their frequency is higher than all the frequencies in the universe, so the wavelength can slip in between the cracks. Does that have any sense to it?
That is correct. That is exactly correct.
Okay. I got it. And then when we feel you, it means we're tuning in. Does the frequency hit us that way? Or is it by the time it gets into this realm, is it slowing down?
No, it is still very, very high. It is hard for a human to detect. It takes a different part of the brain to be able to sense it and detect it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. We have a question from someone that wants to be anonymous, but it's kind of a general question. And the question is, how are we to conduct ourselves when we encounter those who conduct themselves in unloving ways while espousing great knowledge, wisdom, aka ego? How do we best serve the greater good? Do we confront the issue, i.e., do we call them on their stuff and expose their agenda? Or do we apply grace and let them go on spewing their disease?
Thank you. We say that each circumstance has an appropriate response. And so one response cannot be named for all circumstances. An individual, when they are spewing such things, perhaps the best response would be to walk away. But then again, perhaps the best response would be to match their tone. And what you said back to them would have wisdom, but in a matching tone to however they were coming towards you. In other words, if they were angry, then to say something perhaps very wise, but in an angry tone back. Because if you respond too far outside of their emotional range, you will not reach them. If you respond within their emotional range, simply by being in their emotional range, you will have gained some entrance. However, if you spew back at them, you may just lock horns and come to a deadlock. So if you said something cutting back in an angry tone that could perhaps get through a little bit of sense, then you would have a better chance of being heard. In some instances, when somebody is making a disaster, then let's say that the person has just robbed the bank and has shot some people, then an appropriate response might be to simply shoot them back. And then they, in that manner, for their future, will have been paid back in kind and feel that it was deserved. So it is not a simple answer to say you simply act nice or you simply do one thing or another. You do the appropriate thing for the situation, keeping in mind that you have a purpose for your response and whether your response can get through to them or not. It takes some wisdom in knowing how to respond.
I would like to add a question to that. It seems to me that if you're going to respond to somebody and match their tone in an angry way, that it's important to not polarize with them. That just because you're expressing yourself in angry tones, it doesn't mean you have to be angry inside yourself. You can tap into the emotion of anger and put it out just to get somebody's attention or to back them off if somebody is in your space. But that's, you know, doing that does not mean you're polarizing your energy with them. Can you comment on that? Am I correct?
You're correct. You do not want to reach a stalemate with them and throw back exactly the same things that they're throwing at you. You could be a little bit higher tone and say something sarcastic that could shed a little bit of light on their stupidity that might stop them for a minute. However, if you want to reach them and you are just being nice and they are being very angry, you need to come down in your tone to be perhaps your voice could have a little edge to it to get through, similar to their voice. And then they would, since they're at that tone already, be open to your tone, but if you could put some sense into it. And it is a bit of a tricky thing to get wisdom in, but not polarize with them, to come back in a similar tone as they are. But perhaps in some circumstances, it is not even appropriate to come back with a similar tone to them. It is depending upon the situation. For instance, if a person is very, very upset, say by the death of a loved one, and then they come at you with anger, you probably won't want to come back and match their anger. You probably will want to come back with some kind word. So it is depending upon the situation how you best react, but it is not good to polarize and come to stalemates.
Thank you. From Joshua in Austin, Texas. We have learned that we are all in this together, so to speak. What happens when we, the group, send love and compassion to the negative?
It depends upon how you do it. It's a very good question. If you do it with a demand, let's say that you are sending love light to a negative person, and you do it as a demand, then you will merely reach that deadlock that we were talking about. And it will form what you might call a ridge, energy going in one direction and being opposed by the energy going in the other direction, even though you're doing it long distance. If you put within their space the idea that they can change their mind and put it there as an option, then of their own free will, they might grab onto that and say, my gosh, you know, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. And they would change what they are doing. If you are sending energy of some type, if you, say, have a virus, for instance, a herpes virus, you do not want to send blood light to that virus. You don't want that virus to do anything except leave, to dissipate, to dissolve. So that is what the intention you send to that virus, and that can be a demand. We hope to shed some light on that.
Thank you. Next question. This is from Walt Moore. And this is another interesting question. The short question is there an Earth experiment? But I think I'm going to add something to that. And that is, you know, we have studied and read in the Creator God book how the Elohim created the universe. And it seems to me that even from that point, it was experimental, because they didn't know what was going to happen. And then as it kept growing, it was growing on its own steam, own choices of all these multitude of consciousnesses that were in the universe. And we've come to here not as a matter of destiny, but a matter of happenstance, it seems to me. And so, how would you answer Walt's question, is there an Earth experiment?
We did not look at it as an Earth experiment based upon how Earth was formed and moved forward. We look other as different individuals having their own agendas, and they play the vibrations to have their agenda come out on top. When we look at an Earth experiment, we do not see it as some group is making an experiment here, although individual groups could do experiments according to their own agenda on some of the people. For instance, spraying certain toxins in an area and seeing what the result might be. But this is not a whole Earth experiment.
Okay, thank you. Edna Offenbach likes to ask a question about personal skills. Is personal creativity part of past life abilities? Do we bring our past life skills with us? For instance, I love arts and math, and I have it easy to understand of how things are created.
Thank you. Individuals bring the past life skills with them into their future life. In a sense, everything is taking place at the same time. If an individual in a lifetime studies a certain occupation such as singing, they learn skills which can then be carried on into their next life. You have seen children who exhibit talents and skills that it seems that they did not learn in this lifetime. Those are some examples of skills that are carried over from one lifetime to another. Therefore, the work you put in on yourself in learning and getting certain skills is not lost, and to some degree carries over into the future.
Thank you. It seems to me that if someone is an old soul and they have many skills, this was my experience, that it would be a certain life experience that might trigger that particular skill. Otherwise, it stays latent. Is that true?
If, let's say, one had been a singer in one life and then moved into the next life, then they heard something on the radio, they heard some songs, and they began to practice singing. The answer is yes to your question.
Mm-hmm.
So if it is triggered, then the person can develop it. If it is not triggered, say with the singer, let's say the singer comes into the next lifetime and doesn't practice singing, doesn't get connected with it, they move into some other aspect of their life, then the singing, the muscles wouldn't develop well enough if it did get triggered later. It wouldn't be as good a run on singing. It could foster singing in later life, but the development of it wouldn't have been as complete because the body, the new body, needs to also be trained. The genetics of the new body need to take on the neural pathways to be able to express the skill or talent.
Thank you. Question from Marilyn Hosman in Pittsburgh. And she says, I used to feel an affinity with the star system, the Pleiades, seven sisters. I don't know much about that soul group. Could you talk about what is most significant for us to know about the star system? What are their attributes, etc.? I'd love to know more about this. And she's probably thinking maybe she's a Pleiadian starseed as well, but she didn't ask that. So you can decide if you'd like to answer that or not. Thank you.
The Pleiadians have some very beautiful beings and very loving beings. Earth is difficult, and so it is easy to imagine one having affinity for the Pleiades. The beings of the Pleiadian group tend to be beautiful and, in general, do not have such a difficult case as many humans have developed on Earth.
Thank you. Just a side comment. I remember one time we asked a question about John Lennon, and they said John Lennon was a Pleiadian. So, and that was through Terry. Okay, next question is, just a moment. This is from Susan Rush. Please ask our sources about how this works because it's confusing. And the Edgar Cayce quote you provided in your email for last night's call reminded me. And the quote was, for he that expects nothing shall not be disappointed, but he that expects much, if he lives and uses that in hand day by day, shall be full to running over. That was from Edgar Cayce. We would assume that might have come from the Rod Loop, but maybe it came from Edgar Cayce's conscious mind. And so the question is it that we should be expectant while not expect a particular outcome and to just keep it general? I think this is why I've just accepted what is in most cases, because it seems the way it works is that having expectations of improved situations leads to the disappointment. So naturally, I've learned to count my blessings and not to expect much. I'm sure a lot of people feel this way, and I'm not even sure I've expressed it clearly. Thank you.
Thank you. When you have an intention for something to come about, it is a little different than an expectation, but it contains expectation that your intention will come about. So if you can switch expectation, which contains an element of it happening to you, to intention, which extends also to all of the elements involved, but gives you more control over the outcome, it will likely come true more easily.
Thank you. Next question. just a moment. This is from Asila in West Hills. Not sure where West Hills is, what state. She says, since the shift started, it seems no matter what I try to succeed in, nothing works, financially, emotionally, or spiritually. Yet my heart chakra seems full. What is blocking everything from me? I've asked for help, but nothing. That's from Asila Cortez Burkhart. And if you don't mind, I wanted to make a comment on that. It seems to me that in this period of shift, that when you want something to work, you have to start on the ground floor, because the structures that in the past we tried to work within are not holding energy now. Even when you get something going in them, they're boring, they're dull, and it's hard to keep attention, particularly if you're a wanderer or a starseed or someone who's come in from higher dimensions. Like, for example, somebody had said they were working cleaning houses and blessing everybody's house. And maybe that person could have had a job. I don't know. This is probably not true of that person. But let's suppose they were at a very high skill. And maybe that skill would have forced them to get into a job with a big corporation. And there would be no energy in it. Like, it would be better for that person to be cleaning houses than working in a corporate job. If we think so much in terms of what we do, like, I'm a chiropractor, or I'm a this, or I'm a lawyer. And with the shift, I think that what you do is very incidental to how you do it and what you're doing inside of yourself. So, for example, if you wanted to start a business as a chiropractor, if you just started giving adjustments to your friends and then let it build organically, as opposed to thinking, I need an investment, I have to open an office, and how am I going to start all of this? And then nobody shows up, because it's like your transmitter has to be working into the universe so people gravitate towards you on the frequency of the shift, rather than on the frequency of the old paradigm. That's just my take on it. Turn it over to our sources, and they can give their perspective.
Thank you. There are different layers of difficulties that have arisen since the 1990s. And part of it is to do with the social complex that you live in. There has been more difficulty in getting up the enthusiasm towards building something, and there have been much detrimental information in the news to scare people. It is if there's a different paradigm that was moved into, then there are different difficult positions astrologically. If one sets their sights daily when they wake up in the morning to call in the higher energies, the enthusiasm, to call it into their life for the day, to call in the blessings for what they have, the blessings for their neighborhood, and to put their focus instead upon the difficulties, upon the blessings, and upon the higher forces, in that difficulties can be set aside. And the focus changed then to the blessings and to the help of higher forces, and the blessings extending out to the elements of their daily life can change the posture to move one out of difficulties and help them to set their sights for progress during that day.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to do the subject line question, and it is when having a midlife crisis. Now, it's very interesting. I better put some background on this question. There's someone in our group, and I'm not going to say who they are, and if they're listening, it's okay. I didn't take any of this personally, but they sent me an email, and they were really upset with me because we spent time in L.A., and, of course, I was doing some recording there, and I was teaching a young man some of my songs. And while we were there, the energy of these calls got a little scattered. We kept them up, but we were staying in someone's house, and we couldn't get all focused. On the other hand, we came out with some great demos, and I should share that how I related to music, even when I was younger, is I was hitchhiking around the country, and I was having these miraculous experiences every day, and I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what was happening to me, and I said, everyone else seems to be living in kind of a dream world, and I wanted to put into lyrics what I was experiencing and translate it in such a way that people could get it. And then I went to L.A., and I had some amazing things happen, and then things crashed. And so it's been, but I developed tremendous skill at doing that. I believe I did. I don't say that egotistically. I just know what I know. And so when there was an opportunity for someone to learn my songs, it came through our group, actually. It didn't come from me going out saying, I want to get songs recorded. I said, what a great opportunity, because I have these songs that I really feel are still effective and could reach the public in a big way. And that if you're holding a right energy, it doesn't matter whether you hold it on an intelligibility call or in a song, or in a performance, it's all the same energy. So I'll read part of the email they sent me. It feels like you're having a late midlife crisis, wanting fame and notoriety as a rock star, with a resurgence of prior ambitions, which are now outmoded, and you are using the wrong platform. I kind of feel like intelligent infinity is being held hostage. Many are turned off with the egotistical and self-indulgent displays that have overcome you the past 2 months, and the lack of presenting and experiencing intelligent infinity work. And so I thought I'd put that in front of our sources and have them comment on that. Thank you.
Thank you. We look at the experience with the recording as an expansion into an area that can bring more young people in the area of music. There has become a degradation with stars using ecstasy on stage or having more of a non-leadership position that is good for the youth. And we look at the potential of music is bringing through vibrations from the higher realms, from the Elohim, from the Ra group, that can help individuals raise their tone and help them connect with each other better, and to help raise the tone of society. We even look at a potential for a movie as being able to reach individuals that could not be reached otherwise, and give them a wider choice and a better chance to connect with their fellow man, to help the family unit, to help individuals who are working for the good of their society.
Thank you. Is that the end of your answer?
Yes. We do not look at it as a midlife crisis.
Thank you.
We are very pleased with the expansion into another arena that can also help.
Thank you. That's what I felt. I felt sometimes people look at how things look instead of how they are. For example, some people think because I do 3 calls a week that maybe I'm just love attention and I've got a big ego, and that's not true. In fact, I didn't even want to do 3 calls a week. We started doing the Wednesday call because they asked me to do it. They wanted this platform where people could ask questions. But I was originally intending to...
We, at the time, we were doing a Wednesday call, and the person doing the Wednesday call and doing the channeling did not wish to continue. And we wished this to be an opening to work with people. And so we asked if it could continue to be done.
Thank you. Next question is, this is from Michael Snyder in Camino, California. And he talks about fluoride, sodium fluoride, and questioning if it disrupts our pineal gland's natural functions by hardening its interior walls. I know I believe I've read that that's true. There appears to be 2 forms of fluoride, sodium fluoride, the synthetic industrial version, which is a waste product of the fertilizer industry, and calcium fluoride, naturally occurring in spring water and soils in very small concentrations. Is the sodium fluoride in toothpaste and drinking water, and sodium fluoride is the artificial one, to fight tooth decay, harming our pineal glands? And if it is, how can the damage be reversed?
Thank you. The first thing is to stop using fluoride. Fluoride is not only in the toothpaste. It is also put into many cities' drinking water supplies. It not only hardens the pineal gland, it replaces thyroid hormones and causes thyroid to misfunction. To do away with fluoride and into your system will help your body in many ways, and to take it out of the water supply of cities would help the development of children.
It seems to me if you have a water filter, then that gets rid of the fluoride in your drinking water, yes?
It depends upon the water filter that you have, so check out your water filter to make sure.
But the other part of Michael's question is, if we have already used fluoride and we've already created damage, is there something to undo that?
If for the first part of it you stop using it, then it will start to undo some of the damage. Some of the damage is very hard to undo. For instance, the lowering of an IQ of a child who has taken much fluoride in growing up. The damage to bones by making them more brittle, it is supposed to make them harder, but also it makes them more brittle. If one supplants it at any point by a diet without it and puts the proper minerals in and the proper ingredients that will help the thyroid heal and help decalcify or help loosen up the pineal gland, then this can begin to reverse the damage some or more, depending upon the length of time one has been using it. But we recommend stopping use of it and to study what are the good nutrients that will help heal the damage.
Thank you. Last question, and we have about 1 or 2 minutes to answer it, and it is from Chris in Bluebell, Pennsylvania, and about choices to be made when we transition. I heard someone on a Project Camelot interview say the tunnel of light is a fabrication by dark energies to keep us locked in 3D. Even though those who have had near-death experience always talk of the tunnel of light. Could you clarify this, please?
Thank you. It is not necessary to go through the tunnel of light to reach the higher realms. However, the tunnel of light serves its own purpose. It is a tunnel, and it does have lights and a pattern around it. And it helps one to defocus from the specifics of their past life and readies them to move into the heavenly realm. It is a useful instrument to bring the focus of the person into its movement to the higher realm and to energy, the amount of light the person is able to sustain in moving higher, as when one moves into the higher realms, they are in their astral and they take on some aspects of light within themselves. It is a focusing tool to help a person transition to the heavenly realm.
Thank you. All right, I think that's it for tonight. Thank you all for being here. We'll see you, some of you, on Sunday. We also have a talk with Carla Ruckert tomorrow night, leading into our Ra session number 8 on Saturday. And if you didn't get the email, be sure and ask us. Went out today, probably send another email tomorrow. And we'll see you all next time.